Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante. He is Jeff Byers. Jeff, how are you doing this week?
Not bad at all. All ready and raring to go for, well, there's a Brewers Fest at Beaver Stadium Saturday, so that has our attention up here.
And understandably so, Jeff. I get that. I take it that means you're going to be heading out there?
Well, I'm negotiating that still. So I'm hoping to be out there. There may be some things that preclude it. We're still trying to work through that.
Fair enough. I understand you gotta deal with the boss on those kind of endeavors. All right. Jeff, here's news of the week. Penn State got, I guess, a little bit of a surprise. I hadn't heard this one coming. A new tight end is going to enter Ty Howell's room there. A young man by the name of Matt Henderson. And an interesting recruit in that not too long ago, nobody even knew of him. And all of a sudden, his status is blowing up. That seems like a pretty typical Penn State recruit, especially at tight end. I think we went through this story not very long ago about a tight end blowing up like that. This is just another one in the line of tight ends coming in, very good ones coming into Penn State, isn't it?
It is, and I think, Jim, that one of the things that sometimes maybe is underappreciated is coaching staffs and their understanding of what it is they're looking for and what fits their system. And sometimes it is okay to have a guy that isn't the five-star guy, according to all of the other analysts, but it's a guy that you think has upside potential. You know, I just got into a discussion with somebody the other day on the difficulties sometimes in trying to project where an athlete is going to end up. And I think a lot of times folks get caught up in what has been accomplished instead of what is possible. And you know, you see it with different kids in different sports, right? Where there's a guy that, or a young girl who does not start out as any kind of a star, but falls in love with the sport, works at it, gets better and better, and then all of a sudden blossoms. And sometimes that blossoming occurs in middle school, sometimes it's high school, sometimes it's not until they actually get to college. And you know, there's all kinds of stories about the guys or gals who were dominant in middle school or in their elementary school programs, and then it just peters out. And there's all kinds of examples of folks who were not on anybody's radar, even as a senior in high school. And then, man, look out, here they come, and they have terrific collegiate careers, and in some cases even go above and beyond and have great professional careers. So to me, it's just a cautionary tale about, you didn't get enough of this star recruit or that star or all of that. Sometimes the coaches actually know what they're talking about, and sometimes they don't. Again, I'm not saying that any of these schools ever hit 100%. It's like, oh no, we knew this guy was going to be that. Sometimes you take a gamble based on, you know, getting to know the family, seeing the kid's work ethic. And again, sometimes it doesn't pan out. But I think a lot of times you do see guys who it's just a passion that they have, and it comes together at a different point than maybe what folks are hoping for in terms of, oh yeah, clearly this guy in high school is going to translate well to the collegiate level.
Well, Jeff, we like getting those five stars, four star guys, because we could quantify it. But I think there also needs to be an understanding of how those star systems and scouting systems work. If you're a player that's in a popular area. If you go to IMG Academy, people are going to see you. That's just the way it is. And there are major schools throughout the country where they have a legacy of sending players to big-time college teams. You're going to get noticed. But there are a lot of schools out there and a lot of places where you're not going to be seen. You're not going to get that rating. And especially if the player doesn't go to a lot of these camps that are sponsored by the scouting groups. So what you may even see is some of them, well, this guy doesn't even have a star rating. Well, that's right, because he hasn't been evaluated yet, Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes it's just the athleticism, and coaches and recruiters can go and look at that, and it's like, yeah, I don't care what the stars say or the various services say about how many stars he's worth. It's like, yeah, we see potential there, we see upside, and you know, again, it's not that it's always going to pan out, but I think sometimes it's well worth that. That risk, and you know, it's a feel thing, right? Like it's not an exact science, and I think sometimes you just have to rely on your instincts. I'm talking about the coaches that, hey, I think this guy is going to work. I think he's going to come into his own, and you know, sometimes you get ahead of the curve on that. And sometimes you're behind the curve and you're playing catch up. Other folks are recognizing it before you do. But I think, you know, in all of those cases, you're just trying to go out and find the players that you think will fit your system, that will, over the course of the next 4 or 5 years, be guys that can help your program. And not always as a starter, by the way. I mean, you know, you have 85 scholarships. Obviously, there's 22 starters, or 24 if you count the specialists. So the majority of your team is not starting in any given year, but you need guys that are going to be pushing and hopefully can become starters. And if nothing else, can be serviceable as practice players and give your starters a good look. And again, at that push, that you need to have the competitiveness so that you can, you know, again, try to be a high-level program consistently.
And when we talk about Penn State recruiting, James Franklin often gets complimented about his ability to recruit, and I think people think in terms of the personality. He's persuasive, he's charming, he can relationship building, he's good at all of those things. What I think gets overlooked is for him and his staff, they seem to find players before they blow up in the recruiting rankings. We saw that at a quarterback with Drew Aller. Ethan Grunkmeyer seems to be is another example of that. Penn State was on these players. It's the same way, you know, I referenced that tight end. Luke Reynolds is another example, the tight end who ended up so highly ranked. But what it also reminded me of in seeing this situation again with Matt Henderson is, how much do we, position by position, to you start to say, you know what, I'm not really sure I care if that kid has 3 stars, 4 or 5. I'm trusting of the position coach. And talking specifically here at tight end, Jeff, I'm just so trusting now of that position group and the judgment there. Remember, this is a position we've gone from, like, Mike Gesicki to Pat Freiermuth to Brenton Strange to Theo Johnson to Tyler Warren, and there's more on the way. We talk about, you know, Luke Reynolds is maybe, and there's in Andrew Rapelier. I am just so trusting at that tight end position. What I was wondering, Jeff, is what's your confidence level throughout this coaching staff and the different position groups? Let's start with tight end and the job that Ty Howell does there, not just in recruiting tight ends, but in developing them.
Yeah, and I think that is the combination that you're looking for, right, Jim? Is it, yeah, you want to get guys that are recruiting high-level athletes, but then developing them and taking them and making them better and hopefully significantly better, substantially better throughout their collegiate career. So I do think Ty Howell has earned all kinds of trust when you look at both ends of that equation, and the track record speaks for itself. And I think, you know, the expectations are not dropping at all. If anything, again, I think we're expecting this to maybe be as good a year or better than we've seen to this point, really, under James Franklin with the tight end core that they have. And so, yeah, I do think there's a lot to be said for that, whether or not you have a coach that it's like, yeah, I don't care what the rating system says. If that's somebody he wanted, that's somebody that I'm okay with Penn State going and getting. And, you know, truthfully, I think there's some positions where it's like, oh, I wonder, no matter what the stars say, is this really going to work out? Is this somebody that's going to be able to get the potential out of the guys that are coming in?
All right, well then let's go through some of the other positions. I'm curious to get your take on where you think they stand as a position group, and it's not just about the current season. I'm going to hit the next obvious one is that running back, Jeff. They seem to just keep pumping them out. Juwan Sider, he brings them in and he develops them.
Yeah, and I think a big part of Juwan Sider, too, is the camaraderie that he develops in that room. And I think that's a big part of it, too, is, yeah, they get talented running backs, and obviously they're getting production from the position, so I think the development is there. But they have, you know, again, they're a solid five deep going into the upcoming season. And, you know, trying to keep everybody happy and motivated and excited about the opportunities ahead is not necessarily an easy thing to do. And I do think he has done a great job of, again, keeping that camaraderie and that feeling of team chemistry strong within that position group.
Yeah, he really has. And I've got to cut it short there on running backs. We'll pick it up right from there when we come back, Jeff, in quarter number two. We've had such a great response to our F45 Training State College promotion over the last 2 weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. Starting Monday, May 6th, and running through May 21st, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F45 Training State College for 2 weeks free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training and a group class environment. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Jeff Byers. I'm Jim Galante. Jeff, we were talking about the most recent Penn State football commitment. It was Matt Henderson, a tight end. Enters Ty Howell's tight end room. Again, the position that has been doing so well, they just crank them out one after another, Jeff. And it got me to thinking about how we look at the position groups throughout the whole team. Tight end, we've grown very comfortable with how they do it, how they recruit, how they develop. And I kind of cut you short when we were talking about the running back position and what Juwan Sider has done. And I think this is also a good example at running back where success can beget success. What I mean by that is you bring a guy like Saquon Barkley into the room, there's an ongoing lasting effect. He sets that standard in the room, the work ethic that you see develop as you go through, but it also becomes you start hearing high school players saying, I want to go where this guy played. So it success brings you more success, doesn't it?
I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I think the it's why that position in particular, Jim, like they are getting the high star recruits. And then those guys are being productive, but they're not getting worn down, right? Like they're able to head to the NFL with a lot of carries still in them. And I think that is probably a big part of the equation here too. And, you know, counterintuitive to some of us that are old school, where the, you know, we were used to, hey, if you're the featured back, you want to be touching the ball 25 plus times a game. That's just not the case anymore, because these guys are looking at their long-term future as well. And yeah, they want to be part of the equation, certainly want to have a chance to showcase their skills. But I don't think these guys are looking to be the 25 to 30 touches a game type of stalwarts that you had, because they realize there is a limited shelf life here for the running backs, and your body can only absorb so many blows over the course of an entire career, college and professional combined. And so I think it's very appealing when you look at that Penn State room and say, yeah, I don't have to be the guy. I can be one of a couple of guys. I'll have plenty of chance to show my wares and to develop my skills, but we'll still have the opportunity to go to the NFL with kind of a full tank still in store.
That's a good point. And Juwan Sider has obviously created that kind of atmosphere with the running backs. And I think one of the great recruiting jobs they did was bringing in a guy like Trey Potts, knowing he came in knowing he would be the number three running back, and he only had a year left of eligibility, but he was okay with that, feeling that even as a third guy, he would get some touches and he would be in this very good running back room. But Jeff, it kind of leads then to the question, now that you've got that momentum at Penn State with the running backs, there's the legacy. You see that coming. That's great for that position. But what if you're at a position without that kind of legacy? How do you start it? You get the feeling that once it gets rolling, I don't want to say it's easy, but it's easier to keep it going. Where I'm headed with this, Jeff, just a couple years ago, offensive line was the big issue at Penn State. It was the problem. And they bring in, you know, Phil Troutwine comes in with a very good reputation with what he did at BC in developing offensive linemen there. And it didn't click necessarily in his very first year. It took a while, but I'm now beginning to believe in this offensive line. Remember, this was a team that had three guys go in the top five rounds of the draft, okay? And there's still the feeling that they are building something pretty good there.
Yeah, I think very good there. And yeah, I think that is part of it, is I don't think that you can really question the development now of the guys that come through the system. And I think because of that development, that now you're getting more of the high star prospects to look at Penn State and say, yep, that's a place I want to go. And I think that's why we've talked about the depth on the offensive line, and we'll have to see how it all plays out. I don't think there's any question the depth is better than it's been. Whether or not that first unit is as strong overall as what last year's was, again, we'll find out. But I'm pretty optimistic that by the middle of the season it will be, because I think, again, that development is there. And I also think the caliber of recruit that they've been able to get into the program here over the last two or three years is a step up. I think they're heading in the right direction in terms of getting guys that are more college ready, or that will, you know, you're more confident they will translate their high school skills to a good collegiate career. And so, yeah, I think Troutwine at this point has earned that trust where you feel pretty good year in and year out about the offensive line. There may be a year here where you have a bigger concern, or a year there where you're more confident. But I think overall, it feels like that group now is also one where you feel like you have a pretty reliable sense of what you're going to get from that unit year in and year out.
And you now have, you know, I named Saquon Barkley as kind of the poster boy for the running backs. That reason, I think you've got to look now at Olufashanu as that guy among the offensive linemen. When you've got a player who's picked in the top 10 of the NFL draft, and I believe he was only a 3-star coming out of high school, that's a guy that you hold up and say, hey, look, here's what we did with him. We can do this then with you also.
I also think that is one of those two, Jim, where they saw something that I don't think what Fashanu did at Penn State necessarily surprised the Penn State coaches. I think it maybe surprised some other folks, but I mean, I think they looked at the footwork at what he was doing at the high school level and thought it would translate well to the collegiate level. And I think, again, that's one of those, I think we've talked about this over the years, Jim, but offensive line is, I think, still the most difficult position to try to figure out how somebody's high school career is going to translate to a collegiate career. Because if you are bigger and stronger than your high school contemporaries, then you're going to be able to dominate at that level. But if your footwork and your technique isn't solid, there are other guys that are going to be as big and as strong as you when you get to the collegiate level. And either you've got to figure that out quickly or you're not going to pan out. And I think offensive line is still the most difficult to try to predict how one is going to go from the high school to the collegiate level. And I mean, again, there's a ton of examples of guys who were just dominant and highly heralded coming out of high school, and you never really heard from again once they got to their college campuses. And certainly plenty of guys that were like, yeah, I think he's good at high school, and then lo and behold, they put on that good weight and they blossom into All-Americans at the collegiate level. So but I think Troutwine's track record now is strong enough, and you're seeing, again, some of those higher star recruits look at Penn State now and say, oh, yeah, this is a place I want to be because I see what they're doing in terms of the development.
Yes, you hit some good points on the offensive line. That is maybe the toughest position to recruit because it's so tough to judge. And you're right, at the high school level, you can just be bigger and stronger than everybody else. And you dominate at that level, but you're then going to go and play against grown men on the defensive line. You're 18 years old with some baby fat on you, and across the way is a 22-year-old who's been through 4 years of the training regimen that goes on at the collegiate level. So how do you judge that? And it's also fascinating, what do you look for in that high school offensive lineman? It seems to be with Phil Troutwine, we're seeing some of these long, lean players where it's like, you know what? He doesn't have the bulk, the size to play there today, but he's got those other aspects. He's got that athleticism. We'll put that 40 or 50 pounds on him, and we're going to do it in the right way. Now, you're still going to get those outliers. You're going to get Cooper Cousins, who is, you know, coming out of high school at what, like 320, and he's already got the bulk. But we're seeing several other players. It seems like there's more of an emphasis on athleticism over size.
Yeah, and I think the other, no question, I think the athleticism is a big deal, and obviously the I guess football smarts that you bring to it, right, is a big deal with the offensive line, knowing where you're supposed to be, where your teammates are supposed to be, and how it's all supposed to fit together is a big part of the equation as well. I also think one of the things that's just difficult to judge, and I think it's where, you know, in the recruiting process, you're talking to the high school coaches, you're talking sometimes to opponents, but trying to gauge somebody's toughness, and obviously you have got to be tough along the offensive line. Well, again, if you are bigger and stronger than anybody, yeah, you can look like the tough guy out there, But when you get smacked by somebody that's equally physically imposing, you know, do you respond? And there are guys, Jim, I mean, I've talked to Goon Conlon enough over the years. Like, there are guys that, yeah, they are the big bad bullies when they get to push their way around. And then when they go against somebody that's their physical equal, that they do, they just fold. They're not used to it. They're not comfortable with it. And it completely throws them off their game, and they're not able to respond. And, you know, that does happen to a lot of these guys. So I think, you know, you're really trying to judge what I'll call true toughness. And I think it's difficult to gauge sometimes when you're talking about high school linemen. And again, will they be tough enough to withstand everything that's going to be required to play in the trenches at the collegiate level? That's a really hard thing to gauge until you see somebody actually go through it and how they respond.
And when that guy is always the biggest guy on the field, you're never going to get the opportunity to try to see that toughness. All right, Jeff, when we come back, I'm going to ask you about quarterback. Stay tuned for that. We've had such a great response to our F45 Training State College promotion over the last 2 weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. Starting Monday, May 6th, and running through May 21st, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F45 Training State College for 2 weeks free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training and a group class environment. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number 3. He is Jeff Byers. I'm Jim Galante. Penn State got a new commitment at the tight end position. And it got me to thinking, Jeff, about the confidence level we have at the position, the ability to recruit, the ability to develop, and just how good that position group has become and what our confidence level is in that position group with all those different factors. And I think we're both, and probably all Penn State fans, are pretty much in agreement that the tight end position is one that we are pretty confident in. We talked about the running backs. Again, another position I think we're pretty confident in. We're confident in how Juwan Sider really runs that program, runs the running back group. Offensive line was an area of concern for several years. Again, I think we're all in pretty much agreement. The offensive line feels like it's turned a corner and things are going to go well over the next couple years. You talked about offensive line, though, being one of the toughest places to recruit. The other place, Jeff, is quarterback. It's so hard in so many different ways. It's hard to judge the talent. It's hard to judge how they will develop. It's hard to judge, do they have the physical tools? You throw into that running back, we talked, there could be a rotation. Offensive line, there's 5 spots. Not to mention some rotation happens there. You can play more guys. At quarterback, though, there's only one guy out there, Jeff. So how do you judge, let's keep it during the James Franklin era, how Penn State has done in recruiting and developing that position? I'm really curious to get your answer.
Well, I will throw in there too, Jim. I think one of the really big challenges now, and I guess to some degree it's always been, but I think even more so now, is the depth. Because every coach will tell you, right, you want an outstanding backup quarterback, somebody that is ready to go in and take over if need be. with an injury. And I think with the transfer portal now and the sky high expectations that folks have, like, you're trying to get a quarterback in every class. I think, and Penn State's not alone in that. I think most schools are trying to do that. And, but are you able to keep them then if, you know, the hot shot freshman is the guy? It makes it difficult to recruit behind him. And then even the, you know, 2 years ahead of him, how likely are those guys to stay and be that serviceable backup? So I think that's just an added wrinkle to the mix. You know, I think overall, Jim, and, you know, could probably debate this, I think Penn State has done a good job, not a great job when it comes to the quarterback development. I think Drew Aller is going to be a fascinating case here to see in the upcoming season how he develops and how much of last season was let's start with this, because even the assessment of last season, right, it's going to be a very mixed bag. Obviously, from a touchdown to interception ratio, it's hard to do much better than what you got last year from Drew Aller. In terms of producing in the big games when it counted most, it certainly lacked last year. Now, I think a lot of folks, and I would largely count myself in that group, are wondering whether or not the offensive game planning was necessarily what it should have been to give Drew Aller and the offense as a whole its best chance to win those games. Those games, of course, Penn State fans know darn well, would be your Ohio State and your Michigan matchups. So I think that this year is going to be a fascinating watch in terms of how Drew Aller performs in the big moments, in the big games, and how Andy Kotelnicki and staff go about putting him in those positions. And as we've talked about, Jim, I think Bo Prabula should have been a bigger part of the equation last year. I suspect he will be a bigger part of the equation this year. And I think that's also a big part of the overall picture. You're right. You're not alternating the way you may at some of the other positions, but I think being smart about the way you use a guy who has a different skill set in Bo Prabula than Drew Aller, to me, that's going to be one of the really fascinating storylines of the upcoming season. And I think the way I'm expecting them to use both will allow the offense as a whole and both of them to put up, I think, pretty consistent and very impressive numbers.
The thing about quarterback, Jeff, is the extra complications now of keeping them, as you said, with the transfer portal. And if you look around, just using numbers, and by numbers I mean recruiting rankings, prior to Drew Aller, James Franklin's top by rating recruit was Sean Clifford. In his 10 years here, yeah. Sean Clifford was the highest ranked recruit, and he was like around number 200. Okay. Now you look at Ohio State, I think they currently have four top 100 guys on their current roster. Now, I'm willing to bet at least two of them will transfer before they finish their career at Ohio State. But that, I believe Ohio State is okay with that. You know, it's like how many bites of the apple. Yeah. And if guys move on, that's just part of the equation. You know, Joe Burrow moved on. Kyle McCord moved on. So it's a different kind of way that they do it at Ohio State. You also have, now there's so much availability for a quarterback in a portal. Doesn't look like Penn State goes down that path very often. But if you look at some of the most successful teams last year, look at Washington, Michael Penix, a transfer. Oregon, Bo Nix, a transfer. It's a completely different kind of position with a lot of different strategies on how to work it. I'm not sure what the best one is. I suppose it's Ohio State, and you bring in as much talent as you can, and it just becomes survival of the fittest, Jeff.
Yeah, I think so. There's obviously different ways to go about it. I do think there is something to be said, if you can do it, to developing a quarterback from the onset. And you know, Drew Aller here is a pretty good example where, again, if he takes that next step this year. And again, I still think I run into a lot of people that talk about how they hope Drew Aller can take that next step after that bad season a year ago. Again, when you look at the statistics, I mean, I understand why Penn State fans are saying it, but when you look at the numbers, like, there is no measure by which last season was anything but good, at the very least for Drew Aller. And in some ways, again, it was outstanding. Now, if you watched him in the Ohio State and the Michigan game in particular, I think, yeah, that there's reasons that Penn State fans have the impression they have of the season as a whole. And there's no question that for Penn State to get where it wants to be a top four program, to be a team that is contending regularly for Big Ten titles and national championships, that they have to get more consistent play in the big moments and more big plays, by the way, throughout the season from that quarterback spot. So again, to me, how Drew Aller is utilized and then how he responds in those moments, and we're not going to know until you actually see how he performs. You get to those games and you see how the offense performs in them. Again, he could put up great numbers in the first five games, and I don't think anybody's going to be getting carried away with it until, again, you see it done against Ohio State and some of the other bigger names on the schedule in the upcoming season. So, but I think overall it's interesting, Jim, because when just going back to the original question on how would you rate Penn State, it's certainly not as strongly as you would tight ends or even offensive line now, but it's one of those. It's like, it's been good. It's been solid. Sean Clifford was pretty good. Drew Aller last year was pretty good. Well, pretty good, again, at that position, if you're wanting to be great, elite, to go back to James Franklin's now infamous press conference, if you want to be elite, we can't be sitting here talking about, yeah, they were pretty good. That was pretty good at quarterback. That's not what you need from that position. You need to be raving about the quarterback recruiting and development the way we are about the tight ends for this program to take that step and to be one of the elite programs in college football. So, you know, I think that is an area that, and probably wide receiver would be the two spots that you would point to as a Penn State fan and say, yeah, that's got to be better. The recruiting and the development has to be better. Now, I think the last couple of years, like I think Aller, Grockmeyer, I think Prabula, I think the recruiting there has been good. Now it's the production has to be there. You have to see the development and that next step here with Drew Aller starting this season.
Yes, and I think what's interesting about this season versus last year, I'm probably a little more harsh in my judgment of last season because from the eye test, those big games, he struggled. But there were also a couple other games where Penn State's defense was just so superior to the opponent that, like Northwestern, they could live through those struggles in the first half because Penn State's defense was so good, was not going to let the opponent score, and you could get through it. Now, this season, you don't have Michigan on the schedule, so you don't have two great teams, but you're going to have Ohio State and several good teams. It's going to be West Virginia on the road, Wisconsin on the road, USC on the road, Washington at home. I don't think any of those teams are elite, but they're good. Penn State didn't play any good teams last year. All right, Jeff, that's it. Trust me, we will get to some defense when we come back. We've had such a great response to our F-45 Training State College promotion over the last 2 weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. Starting Monday, May 6th, and running through May 21st, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F-45 Training State College for 2 weeks free. F-45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training and a group class environment. F-45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter four. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. We're going through each position group at Penn State, kind of looking at it. What's our trust level, I think, is the best way to put it, in the position? Have they earned that trust from us? Has that position group as a whole that we feel pretty confident going forward because of what they've done and are doing? Jeff, it took us like three quarters going through the offense, and we didn't finish up. Let's hit the one spot, and it's probably the one biggest sore spot on the offensive side of the ball. Wide receiver, they've been going through position coaches, they've been going through players. Where's your confidence level there?
It is not very high at the moment, Jim, and I am hopeful for a good season coming up. I really am, and I do think they have some guys that are capable of taking that next step. But truthfully, I would have told you the same thing a year ago. And so, you know, whether or not it comes to fruition this year, how much of a difference the schemes of Andy Kotelnicki will make. But to me, if there is a coach that is should be feeling the heat this year, it is Marcus Higgins. And I think that is a spot where I do question the recruiting and whether or not Penn State is getting the high caliber receiver that is needed. Again, we're talking about to compete at an elite level, to be a team that is contending regularly for Big Ten and national titles. You know, there's no question that the production from the wide receiver spot last year was not what it needs to be for that to happen. And whether or not it can take that step this year remains to be seen. I have some questions about the recruiting and whether or not Penn State is getting in with enough of the big names and more than getting in, landing enough of the big names. You know, we talked about some of these positions are difficult to translate, and I'm not going to tell you that there's no wide receiver. You know, a five-star prospect at wide receiver is a can't miss. But it seems like there's fewer of them. You just kind of see the athleticism. The speed is what it is. Now, there are guys that will struggle, again, with the coverage. It's a different level of coverage when you get to the collegiate ranks. You need to be more precise with your routes, all of that stuff. So, you know, sometimes it doesn't translate. But the athleticism certainly does translate, I think. And I think that's where, you know, it feels like Penn State built up a lot of receivers, but maybe not enough of the high-end caliber receivers, the guys who can go out and make a difference in collegiate games. And I think that's still a big need and a big concern here for this program.
And also, you mentioned Marcus Higgins perhaps being under some heat. I agree. The problem there is, you don't want to keep changing constantly. You want to create some stability, and you want to see some of the improvement also. So far, haven't seen either. All right, let's try to get through the defense here. Start with defensive line. An interesting concept there. Deion Barnes, when he came in, you know that James Franklin even talked about it. Wasn't like, okay, young guy, I wasn't quick to just hand the keys over to him, but he earned the right. And I think Jeff, so far, and especially he's got the challenge of defensive tackle, defensive end are two very different positions, and he seems to have done very well in the development all across the line.
Yeah, and I think this is where sometimes you do benefit from somebody being more recent and really having developed his game and having an understanding of the techniques that are involved that are successful today. This is one area where I feel really good about what Penn State has done. I think the reputation is very good, but I think that the development component has been consistent, and I think it will continue with Barnes. And I don't know, this area I feel, I guess, very confident in, and I think you're seeing it on the recruiting front. I think guys respond well to Deion Barnes and the Penn State brand. I mean, I think the name itself is also out there, that combination of Barnes and just the Penn State brand is getting you in with high-level recruits. And then again, I think the development component, to me, was very impressive a year ago.
Let's hit linebacker, which is a little bit different kind of position over the last couple of years at Penn State as far as coaching goes, because it's been the coordinator who's been the position coach also. But so far, there's not been the downside to it, and perhaps by having the coordinator also being the position coach, I could look at that as a feature, okay? If you're coming in that you've got the coordinator as your position coach also. I think Manny Diaz did a wonderful job with the linebackers. Now we're going to find out about Tom Allen there. He's got material to work with, though.
He does, and I think his reputation, Jim, is one that is going to benefit Penn State. I know some Penn State fans still, when I talk to them, some of my friends are like, well, yeah, but look what he did in Indiana. But, yeah, look at what he actually did do with Indiana, again, on the defensive side of the ball in particular. If you talk to any Big Ten coach, and certainly James Franklin, I mean, a big part of why Tom Allen's here is Franklin did see what it was schematically that Allen was doing, and it created a lot of problems for Penn State and for all of their opponents. Now, you know, the recruiting angle was not as strong at Indiana as what it needs to be here at Penn State, obviously. But in terms of that development and the schemes, yeah, I think if I'm a linebacker and I pay attention and I look at what Tom Allen did at Indiana, yeah, I want to be part of that at Penn State. And I'm excited to see what Tom Allen can do with more talent on that defensive side of the ball than what he had in Indiana, because again, I think his schemes were as good as anything you were seeing anywhere in the country. And now I think he's going to have talent to run those schemes that will allow him to put out an elite level defense. Again, Penn State was outstanding a year ago, arguably as good or better than any defense in the country. So there's almost an inevitable drop-off this year. I just don't think it's going to be that much of a drop-off. And that is saying something, Jim, when you look at the amount of talent that left the roster and will be playing in the NFL, by the way, in the upcoming season, for there not to be a substantial drop-off. And again, right now that's just conjecture, but we'll see how it plays out. But yeah, I mean, obviously we don't have a track record yet at Penn State, but my confidence level there with Tom Allen and the linebacker development is pretty darn high.
Well, I also think the point you made about James Franklin having seen what Tom Allen has done over the years at Indiana, he's played against him, so he knows him very well. I think that speaks well of Tom Allen, and we don't know yet. Okay, we'll see. The jury's still out. However, you need new friends if your friends are telling you the fact that he was at Indiana and they're holding that against him, okay? Just get new friends, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. Don't even get me started, Galani. Tell me about it.
Okay, we got a couple minutes left, so I'm going to lump together the defensive backs with Terry Smith and Anthony Poindexter, because they've both done really well. They're both veteran guys. They're both guys who you wonder if they're overqualified for their positions, that they could be coordinators at the very least elsewhere. And they just keep cranking out talent. They bring the talent in and they develop it. And that just is a cycle that keeps going on and on, Jeff.
Well, Jim, I think they've just been very lucky. I had no confidence in either of these guys. They got a lot of lucky breaks somehow along the way here. But, yeah, these two, I think, should really be under the gun here this season as well. No, obviously. And the thing is, it's at a point now, Jim, where, again, I think they – the reputations obviously are outstanding, and it is that combination now where they are getting high-level talent to come in, and then they are developing them into even higher-level talent by the time they leave. When you look at the secondary and the cornerbacks, I guess, in particular, but when you look at the secondary and what Penn State – lost from a year ago, and I just don't think there's going to be much of a drop off at all. And truthfully, I think by midseason they're going to be playing at every bit the level they were a year ago. Certainly, the safeties obviously is going to be an outstanding element of this team. I think the safeties and tight ends would be the two strongest areas of this Penn State football team in the upcoming year. But I think that secondary as a whole is going to be outstanding again, and really I think those two have the recruiting down, have the schemes down, and just do a terrific job of developing the talent that they have. And yeah, I think that's an area where there is no concern in terms of the confidence level I have on what Penn State is going to put out there year in and year out within the secondary group.
And I think also what speaks well of this is at cornerback, they obviously lost a lot of talent this past year, but they bring in a guy like AJ Harris. And if you read some of his quotes coming in, this wasn't like one of those transfer portal NIL things. He talked about, he studied, he did his homework before coming here, and obviously very highly talented player. But he studied who's getting their players onto the field on Sundays in the NFL, and that all was part of his decision, how they're developed here, and he chose Penn State for those reasons. And I think if you paid attention during the spring game, during the blue-white game, oh yeah, AJ Harris, there's a player there. He's going to be a very good cornerback. Jeff, that's going to be it for our show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. We've had such a great response to our F45 Training State College promotion over the last 2 weeks. They've agreed to extend it one more time for our listeners. Now that the students are gone, you have an incredible opportunity to take advantage of their functional fitness classes. Starting Monday, May 6th, and running through May 21st, Keystone Sports Network listeners are able to try out F45 Training State College for 2 weeks free. F45 State College provides you the benefits of one-on-one personal training and a group class environment. F45 State College is the only fitness studio in State College with body composition technology where you can track your real-time progress, leveraging science-backed data to reach your goals even faster. Your free 2 weeks begins the first class you attend. Just make sure you begin before May 21st to take advantage of this limited offer.